Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith. Now here's Senior Pastor Reggie Green.
I want to thank everybody who gave, okay, and invested in that, because that was some of the best giving that, as far as what the money you gave, believe me, it was worth it. It was really, really worth it. Those people, you've seen some of the things I posted on Facebook. And we were out in the bush, and I mean the African bush. My cell phones don't work, nothing out there. I mean, we're out there. But God moved in this particular tribe called the Pokot people. Hundreds of people got saved. Hundreds of them. Like I said, and I saw some things that would just blow you away as far as demonic oppression. And I mean, it was on, and real witches. And I mean, that stuff, you know, like I said, these people prayed to a mountain. And they, you know, this mountain that's near their village and or their area, and that's where all the magic and the power is, and that's where the witches are. And if you want to get blessed, or you need a baby, or you want to curse somebody, that's where you go. And these people were really, it was serious. It was in, they were into it. They were also a very aggressive people. And years ago, it wasn't long ago that strangers coming into their area would have been killed. I'm talking about, like I said, they were at war with everybody, one of their elders said. They were at war with everybody. They hated everybody. And so this, in fact, the same area where we set up the crusade and did the preaching is where they used to fight. Battles was fought in that same area, fights all the time, you know what I mean, where people were killed, and here we are preaching the gospel in those same areas. And when we got there, some of the people, like I said, they're kind of, you know, it's all word of mouth. When you get out there, you don't see any houses, you don't see any home, you're wondering where the people are come from. They live in the bush. You know, you can't see it, you know, back off in the, you know, but as we begin to preach, hundreds and hundreds of people begin to come. And so did a lot of people, like I said, real witches, you know, like I said, they don't want the gospel preached. And lots of people, I just want to tell you, just lots of things happen. People got delivered. The more we preach, I was preaching it like 3 to 4 times a day for 4 days. And that takes a lot of energy. And that's me and Pastor Dave Tiarina and the other two pastors. And by the time we got to Friday, people, you could see they were clothed and in their right mind. They're normal, or like, you know, I mean, it was a process, man, but it's like, you know, it was just wild and crazy in the beginning. And then Friday, I mean, there's hundreds of them sitting out. Their church, they have church services outside. You know what I mean? They don't have a building. I mean, they're sitting in the dust. They bring a mat and sit down, and there's a couple, 300 people sitting there on the ground just listening to every word that's being preached. Every word that's being preached. And so because we were there, because I was there, people's lives were touched and changed. Because you sent me, because you invested, because you helped finance this thing, people's lives are touched and changed. I mean, believe that, like I said, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. You know what I mean? Look around. I said, we got some empty pews here. It's got nothing to do with us reaching the world. Nothing. You know why people don't go into the missionary field? Why they don't go out? Because it's work. It takes time. It takes money. It's 40 hours traveling to Kenya and 40 hours back. 40 hours of traveling. Then once we got there, then it's like a 5-hour drive. You know, like I said, once we get to Kenya, you know, and where I was staying at, and it was 5 hours in this truck to get to the area that we want to go. And I said, the reason people don't do this is because it wears you out. I mean, it really is some work. And then once you get there and you got to deal with demonic oppression, which I preached on Wednesday. I did preach Wednesday, and it was talking about opposition to the gospel and opposition to Jesus. You experience opposition, man. The devil is not happy at all. And I tell you, and if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you will get your butt kicked. It's just not going to happen. You better be filled with the Spirit of God. You better have the goods. Religion's not going to cut it. Religion is just not going to cut it. You had better be a born-again believer, and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't think it's just for Africa, but I think it's for here too. Amen. This is one of the problems with a lot of Christians where, you know, trying to live for God without the Spirit of God. You're trying to do godly things without the Spirit, without God empowering you. And that's ugly. It's filthy. It's stinky. It doesn't even work. It gets weird. You know what I mean? We have to have the Spirit of God help us live for Him. This is important, especially for our church. And so I'm believing God. I want to finish this before. Two things that's going to happen. I want to pray for someone at the end of the service. Sister, I'm going to pray at the end. We're going to believe God for a miracle because I want you to hear what I'm preaching. I believe the Word of God stirs faith and hope and belief. But one of the most amazing things I've seen, we prayed for, in fact, this is the way I'll give you a little picture. People would walk up to us all the time to be prayed for because they had some sickness or something. One time I'm preaching, everybody's out there and I'm right in the middle of the message. I got the translator right beside me and a woman just got right up and came over and stood right in front of me and wanted me to pray for her right then. She had malaria. Malaria affects your body. It was affecting her eyes. So I caught it. I already know what's up. So she, that's how these people are. And so when I got to a place where I could stop, I let her stand right there beside me. And then when I hit a point, I could end it. We laid hands on her and believed God. And so her sight was open. She received her sight back. You know what I mean? So that's something we can praise God for. Come on, church. We can. Another thing I prayed, I love this one, man. I just had Pastor Tiarina prayed for the sick and for miracles a lot, and I prayed for people to get the Holy Ghost, and there was probably 300 people, and that was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, is every one of them get filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak with tongues. That's powerful. That's amazing. That's amazing. Then my favorite miracle, even though Dave Tiarina preached, he prayed for a lot of people got healed. We're sitting back drinking tea. We're under this tree, and it's in between the services. And a woman comes up, and she brings a translator with her, and she says that she loves God, she lives for God, and every joint in her body is in pain. And she says, I've done everything. And she's tried medicines, doctors, she's did everything, and she is still in pain. And so it's Pastor Orozco, Dave Tiarina, myself, and we're sitting. Dave stands up and I stand up, we're pastors, we're going to support him in praying for her. And I got up out of my seat and walked, and Pastor Tiarina said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Just that quick. And then he says, check yourself. And she just smiled. It was one of the most, so quick, so fast. And this woman was, every pain in her body was gone. And this is what really got us. So then we just sit back down to finish our tea. And the woman stood right there for about 2 minutes. She didn't know. She just stood. Her back was towards us like this. And she's doing this. And she can't leave because she can't believe. It's like the miracle was so fast and so powerful. And no calling on witch doctors and lightning and all making a whole lot of noise. In Jesus' name, be healed. And God touched her, and she was healed, and she didn't know what to do, whether to thank us or to run or jump. I say, God is good. Can you say amen? Let's give the Lord praise. See, God isn't dead. Open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 42, verse 1 to 2. I'm going to read. And one of the biggest problems with us as Americans, the biggest problem we have, and everybody, you can take this to heart, is we're not desperate for God as most people are. One of the biggest problems that Americans have, I'm talking to different men, from Kenya, and they're talking about, you start telling them about America. They want to know certain things, and I'm telling them, and they go, and how they say, oh, you're so blessed. And I always had a hard time when they said that. I had a hard time, because I got it. If blessing is having a nice car and a nice house and nice food, which I like that. I like having a nice car. I like having food restaurants on every corner, 5 or 10 in a block. Then that's fine. But to me, because we have so much, listen to me. Did you know that our dogs, our pets eat better than most people in that country? Our dogs are taken care of and go get better medical care and go to spas. You ever seen a dog spa? They got them now, especially in West San Fernando Valley. Way better than most people. They're eating beans and rice. Every now and then they get some meat. But for the most part, it's beans, rice, and vegetables. And every now and then they'll get some goat. You guys ever eat goat? You like goat? My problem with goat, I eat goat the first day, second day, third day, around the fifth day. I ain't want no more goat. You know, the problem with a goat, that goat tastes like they look, as far as I'm concerned. That's my opinion, man. And I, you know, and so, and, but to them, listen, all the, I want to tell you something. All the people that were there at this conference, we brought in a bunch of pastors, and they were there, and different people ministering, and I'll tell you more about that. And, but to them, it was like fine dining, and that's okay. Like I said, that's their lifestyle. That's good. Our problem is we have, as far as Americans living in America, we have more than we can handle. You know what I mean? Our problem is, like right after church, is not if we're going to eat, but where we're going to eat. Those guys are struggling about whether they're going to eat. Now, I'm talking about this. Here's something that broke my heart, and I want you to know, as far as spending this church's money, I have no problem spending it when it's going the right direction. Most of the pastors that were at this conference, this one pastor has 40 churches out, 40 couples and families laboring in different cities and different places. And a bunch of them, because they can't work and do the same thing. They can't pastor the church and work too, because the work is like, it ain't like you work 8 hours and get your 30-minute break and your 2 15-minute breaks and all that. No, you get minimum wage, and their minimum wage is like, I don't know if they make, I think they make 3,000 shillings a month. That's almost like 40 bucks a month or something like that. It's insane. But you got pastors that are laying their life down for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and their wives, the big strain on their family is the money, when their husbands can't even bring home rice for their family to eat. Are you with me? And I like to eat. I have no problem spending money on food. I said, if I take two of you couples over to that sushi place over there, that's $200 really quick. And yet here's pastors. And what was presented to me as we're talking, they said for $30 a month, $30 is all they need to eat a month. $30. Do you think KIR Ministries is going to be sending $30 over to some of those pastors? Shake your head if you think we are. Yes, we are. You better believe it. Probably 10 of them at least. Okay, and 10 of them, $30 a month. That's $300, $300, which is nothing. When you're talking about people preaching the gospel and laboring and landing their lives for Jesus Christ, it's a very awesome thing. I just want to point this out to you about when they say we're blessed. Sometimes I wonder, because they hunger. When I'm preaching to people, they're hungry. They're desperate. They're desperate for Jesus. They're desperate for a miracle. They're desperate for healing. They're desperate for some meaning in their life. They're desperate for some real direction. They're desperate for love, to really know love. They're desperate. People are absolutely desperate. And the problem with us in this, and is a lot of times we're not desperate for God. Sometimes we were desperate, and when our back was up against the wall and we were in the corner and had nowhere else to turn, we cried out to God, and God heard us, and he saved us. But for the most part, a lot of times, people are not desperate at all. In Psalm chapter 42, verses 1 to 2, we're going to read, and I want to talk about the desperation that we have to have, and the need and the hunger, you know, for the things of God. And the problem with us a lot of times is that we are not hungry. We're not hungry. And I want to challenge you. It is something that we have to cultivate and develop in our heart. But look at the scriptures here. It says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after you. So pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. Will they continually say to me, where is your God? I'm going to continue to reading a little bit. You can get the feeling of what this man is writing here. He says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to church. I went with them to the house of God. I used to. That's what he said. I used to. with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Can you say amen? That's a good word right there. And this man is expressing his desperation, and obviously he's a little off track, but he's trying to get back home. He's trying to get back to the place where he needs to be. But there's a hunger in him for God. There's a hunger in him for the Spirit of God. He realizes that there is something so desperate in him that only God could fill. Only God could fill this hunger. I was reading about this young man who was part of a church, and he went to Haiti. And when he went to Haiti, he was blown away by the desperation of the people in Haiti and the situation that they were in. And when he came back from that mission trip, he brought a loaf of bread, fresh baked bread with that good smell, you know what I mean? And he brought it, and he waved it around the church. And he was saying, he says, if this would drive people in Haiti crazy, the smell of fresh bread, because they're so hungry and so desperate. He says, yeah, but I'm waving it in this church, and for us it's just a beautiful fragrance. It's just a nice smell. And this is the difference between a lot of times one group of people and another, or one church versus another church, or one Christian versus another Christian, is a fact of desperation or the lack thereof. I want to ask you today, are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for his presence? Are you hungry for his Spirit? What was beautiful about preaching there is these people, oh, did I tell you? Let me slide this one in. People walked for 2 days to come be a part of this. 2 days. Now roll with me this. If you're walking for 2 days, when it got dark, where did they sleep? On the ground. In a tent? No. Just wrap up in the blankets and lay there and then get up the next day just so they could come, because they heard some Americans were preaching in their area. Now, if it's raining outside, this is what trips me out about California. If it's raining, people won't come to church. In a car with heat or air conditioning with your music on and vibrating seats. Oh, it's too far. People from the other side of the valley won't drive because it's too far to come to church here. And yet, interesting, this group of people walked 2 days. And now I'll tell you what tripped me out. At the end, you know what they do? Because the next day they know we got another service. They just lay down, they just get their mats out and lay right there, you know, sleep. And they're going to wake up in the morning and be part of the morning service. Are you hungry? Are you desperate? Is there something inside of you that wants God more than anything else? Or do we allow distractions and diversions and so many things to keep us from coming to him, from pursuing him, from seeking him, from praying, from reading his word, from worship? As a deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. A deer who's hot and sweaty and tired and has to have water. He says, I'm feeling the same way about you, Lord. I'm feeling the same way about you. The problem is when we're not hungry, you know, like I said, when we have no desire for God, we're bound to get into anything. The Bible clearly warns about the rich and satisfied not feeling a need for God. I said, the rich and the satisfied. Well, you probably say, I'm not rich. I ain't rich. Our welfare mamas, Southern California welfare people, are way wealthier than most of the people, say two-thirds of the people on this planet. Oh, yeah, we're wealthy. We got. There's nothing that we lack. Our bills might be due, but I tell you what, we're not half off. In fact, if some of you have ever been to Guatemala or you go to Central America, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you can see the same exact thing. But the Bible points out very clearly that we have to be careful about being full. We got to be very careful about not having a hunger for God and being so easily satisfied by the world. It says in Matthew 19, verses 23 to 24, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus isn't condemning money. He's not condemning wealth. He said, what he's pointing out is an attitude, a spirit, a posture, a position that when, you know, because we people who have wealth seemingly have no need. We seemingly have no need. We're full. We're satisfied. We got what we want, a 65-inch big screen. We got the car. We got the money. We got everything that we need. We don't have a problem with food. We don't have a problem with clothing. We don't have a problem. We get sick. We can go to the doctor. There's no problem with that. We can get medication. There's no need to pray for, to come and get prayed, you know, get prayed for in a church service, you know. And so we got everything we need. Jesus says it's harder for a rich man. He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Seems like extreme, doesn't it? Than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's not about the money. God is not condemning money. There's nothing wrong with having money. The issue is when we put our trust in money, we put our trust in things instead of putting our trust in Him. Tell you, when I worked at City of Hope Hospital, and in City of Hope, it was a cancer facility, and black, white, orange, pink, yellow people, old people, young people, cute little two-year-old toddlers. I can still remember seeing a little kid with a mask over his face, and he's got little bib overalls, man, and his family got him down in the lobby. I'm telling you, age don't matter. Old cancer is a vicious enemy. I hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it then, had it there, and I just didn't like it the way with Rob Hope, and you can see the look in everybody's eyes. What I wanted to point out is people who had money, it didn't matter what their color was, their background, they are desperate, all looking for a healing, all trying to get out of that place, man, and looking for some kind of cure, something to happen, something to touch them. Our money can't buy health, can it? Our money can't fix a marriage. Wealth and things, it can't resolve some things, man. I want to ask you today, are you hungry for God? Are you guys still with me, or are you getting mad at me? Am I on the right track? Do I know what I'm talking about this day? Come on now. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is speaking about the Laodicean church. He says this church is lukewarm. He writes a letter to them. He tells John, he says, I want you to speak to the Laodiceans. Tell them this, you're lukewarm. You're not hot. You're not cold. And because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That was the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this church. He says, you say you don't have need of anything. He says, but I'm telling you, you are desperate for everything. Desperate. Jesus said these same words. This is why he says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's a blessing upon those who are hungry for God. There's a blessing upon those who have a desperation for Him. And cultivate that desperation and express that need. And you got that revelation, that truth. And it doesn't matter how long you've been living for God. You still know that you need Him. And without Him, that you're not going to survive. You're not going to make it. I told my brother, I don't know about you guys, but I got a pretty jacked up. We're not as jacked up as we were. When I say jacked up family, right? A family of hustlers. They used to be, I haven't been home in a long time. Drug addicts, crackheads, heroin addicts, thugs, family members who died from HIV. You know, where I'm from is straight in the hood. I was raised in the heart of the hood. I don't know what the heart of South Central is, but whatever the heart of South Central, Compton, whatever part of LA, we were right in the middle of that. That would have been our, that would have been the area I was raised in. God began to touch me, touch my family, touch my brother, change our lives. My brother, and also people I can relate to. There's some people I can really relate to. And I want, maybe you can hear my voice. Maybe God is speaking to you as I'm talking. You know, there's some people who can give their life to Jesus and then backslide. They can leave God, go on with their life, have kids, work a job, make money, just die and go to hell when it's all over. Then you got the kind of people, they give their life to Jesus, and then when you backslide and leave him, it doesn't work the same way. Your life spirals. Whoosh, all hell breaks loose. Things happen. Nothing ever go right again. How many know what I'm talking about? It's a, like I said, and I, when I got this revelation, I'm talking to my brother because for years, he's living for God now, but on and off, man, he lived for God and then he backslide. You know, just for 20, 25 years, he's going back and forth. And I shared this with him. I said, Kevin, we're not the kind of people that can leave God. That don't work for us. We're the kind of people that have to cling to him all the time. Before we even get to hell, if we don't live for him, our lives are going to be painful. I've told a couple other people over a period of time, and it's a revelation. I can spot them if I'm talking to you. I know whether you're them kind of people or not. And if you've ever heard me say this to you, but it's like, hey, we have to hunger. The best thing happening to us, the very thing, God animates our being. He keeps us alive, keeps our heart filled with hope, keeps us in line, helps us make right decisions and right decisions. Without him, we're nothing. We're in darkness. We go back to what we used to be, which was nothing. And in fact, we're even worse because when you leave the light, there's nothing left but darkness. And so Jesus says, how great is that darkness? Are you with me? There's some of us that have to live. Okay, I don't know if I'm talking to somebody. You can't afford not to live for God because it just ain't going to work for you. You're messed up forever. So you might as well settle it. You might as well live for Jesus. Stop fighting it. Yield. Give your heart to him 110%. Come to church every time the doors is open. Learn to pray. Read the word of God. Love and forgive people and live for Jesus and be happily ever after. Can you say amen? That's what has to happen. And oh, wow. Come on now. Second thing we want to look at is that if you're not hungry or do not hunger for God, then God can't give us what we most need, which is his spirit. We have to have the spirit of God in order to function, in order to live the way that we are supposed to live, to be right, to be in our right mind. Here's the reason why. This is not my opinion. It is a fact. It's a fact. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So that God created man out of the dust, made him, and created him in his image. And then God breathed into man his spirit, the breath of life, which animated him, which brought him to life, made him stand up on his feet, be an individual, have an intellect, and have emotions, and have feelings. What changed this was when Adam sinned. And you know how Adam ate the fruit. First the serpent beguiles Eve, and then Eve tells Adam to eat the fruit. He eats the fruit. God had told him, he says, "Adam, the day that you eat this fruit," which doesn't have anything to do whether it's apples or grapes or oranges or peaches or pears, the issue is disobedience. "Adam, the day that you disobey me," the day you can have anything else in life, anything in the garden is yours, but the day that you eat the fruit, which will give you the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. That was the promise. That was a statement. God himself said, "Look, I'm letting you know the day that you do this, you shall die." Adam eats the fruit anyway. Isn't that how we are? We know we're not supposed to do it, but we do it anyway. God gives us the warning. It's a promise. He says, look, in fact, it's not a promise, just the way life is set up. I'm telling you right now, don't sow that seed. Don't open that door. Don't cross that bridge. Don't sleep with that person. Don't do this particular thing. But oh, we're going to do us. And when we do us, God says, look, the day that you do, you shall surely die. So Adam sins against God. This is disobedience. Disobedience is sinning. You know, when we disobey God's word, when we disobey him as our creator, when we disobey his commandments, his precepts, it separates us from him. You don't want to be separated from God. God is the author of life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection in the life. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him. There was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. He's the life. He's the light. He illuminates our being. He makes us what we are. And without him, we are empty, and we're devoid, and we're dried, and we're shriveled up. It's called death. When Adam sinned, death entered him and death entered the world. And it wasn't like he ceased to exist. God chopped off his head and he just died right there. No, death means separation from life. Death is separation from God, the author of life. That's what death is. When you sin, when we sin, we separate ourselves from him. He's a holy God. And this is the whole thing about sin. It's not like, this church makes up these rules, and I'm really not for that. It's got nothing to do with rules at all. It's just that you shall surely die if you sin. Period. This is what happens to us. We didn't make this up, didn't come up with it. It's a fact of life. So he died. The life of God within man was gone. And so now here we are, and we know that something's missing. We all have this gaping hole inside of us, man. And we try to fill that hole. And you've heard it said, and I've said it before, we try to fill this hunger, this hole inside of us, with anything that will satisfy and make us stop and make us okay. And we're complete and we're all right. And we can try all different types of things. And I can name all the same old stuff, whether it's relationships or drugs or alcohol, money, whatever. But we know that nothing satisfies like Jesus satisfies. He's the only one that can fill that hole inside of you. He's the only one. You can go ahead and try all you want. Mankind has been doing it since the day that Adam sinned. But everybody comes up short. Because only God is the author of life. And the life that you need, it comes from him. Jesus says, I am the bread from heaven. He calls himself the living water. Anybody drink the water that I give, you will never thirst again. If you eat the bread that I give you, you'll never hunger again. And he's talking about satisfying a person's soul. But we keep trying, don't we? We keep trying and we keep trying. And yet, until you come to God, until we hunger for Jesus, we'll continue to be empty. We will continue. So I'm asking you this question this afternoon, and I can't get off it. I can't shake it. I can't get away with it. More than ever before, I really understand the need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about Christians. You're born again. You're living for God. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost since you believed? This is an absolute necessity for Christian living. It's supernatural help from God to help us live a godly life in an ungodly world. 92 times is written in the New Testament about the need or about the Holy Spirit. We can't live this life without God. We can't do it. We just can't do it. Live the way he wants us to live without his Spirit. And like I said before, religion, Christianity without the Spirit of God is religion, and religion stinks. rules, regulations, crosses, the way you dress, this denomination, that denomination. We can go on and on, and there's all different types of religions and throughout the world. But guess what? If God ain't involved in it, it's not real. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:16. It says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And Luke 4:1, if you guys are taking notes, I'm rolling these things out, but it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And so if Jesus had to be filled with the Holy Spirit, ta-da, surely you and I do. And I believe that scripture is written for a reason. Jesus was an example. Just like Jesus prayed, if Jesus had to pray, how much more do you and I have to pray? And so if he's filled with the Holy Spirit, how much more do you and I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We need to let God fill us, consume us. Come and consume now. I got a squeaky voice. My voice ain't good for singing. We need Christy up here. But you know the song. We just sing it. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. That is not just a song to be sung. It's a fact to be lived. It's a fact to be lived. And the reason that so many people struggle living for God is because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, or you don't allow the Holy Spirit to consume you. You're not walking in the Spirit and allowing the Spirit of God to lead and guide your life. This is why we struggle. Jesus thought it was very important that his disciples were filled. In John 16:7, he says these words, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. He will guide you into all truth. He shall tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you." Our Savior says, hey, you are really going to need this to happen in your life. And it's so important. He says, imagine Jesus saying, I have to leave in order for the next thing to happen in your lives that God, my Father, wants to do, I have to go. I got to do this because there is a huge plan that God has for us as far as intimacy and closeness with him and relationship with him and the power that God has promised that you and I would have in this life and the way he wants us to be like we were meant to be. But without the Spirit of God, it had never happened. In Acts 1:4-5, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. And down in verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Power is going to come upon you. So in order to live for God, I tell you what, it was beautiful to see people. The first time that they heard about the Holy Spirit is when I began to preach it. That is a trip. The first time they heard about the Holy Spirit, a lot of them, was when I preached it from the Bible. And then I said, how many want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And every hand went up. And I said, pray this prayer with me just to lead them. And I began to lead them into prayer to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And guess what the response was? How did I know they got filled with the Spirit? They all begin to speak in tongues. That is amazing. That's amazing.
I don't know. And that's a gift for the Old Testament. And God doesn't do that anymore.
Okay. No, I seen it. I was there. blank slate, raw, open, raw, desperate hearts. All I did was preach the word of God and then challenge people to respond to it, and God filled them. Beautiful. How do I know? We counted them. In fact, the next day, Coney Orozco, he's the missionary there. He's an old friend. 70 years old, him and his wife. They travel back and forth from the United States to do this. 6 months here, 6 months over there. Guy's a little too old to be doing this stuff, man. He's barely getting down the steps, but there we are out there. And so he asks, Reg, how do you know they got filled with the Holy Ghost? See, I know because that I already know. But he wanted to be sure, so he's going to challenge them the next day. It was beautiful. I liked it. I just sat back and grinned. But he's going to ask them, how many of you got filled with the Holy Spirit? How many of you speak in tongues? And when you see 200, 300 people put their hand up, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's what I'm talking about. You see, the gospel works. Can I say that? The message that we preach changes lives. The message that we preach, this thing that we believe, what we're involved in, it works. And it's not about being pretty and being cute. It's not about noise, nickels, or numbers. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That is the life. This is who we are. The problem with a lot of times, we don't get to see it. Christianity in this environment, I want to tell you, if you can go on a mission trip, in fact, I'm going back in February. We're going to be preaching in this time on the border of Sudan and Kenya at one of the world's largest refugee camps, or at least the largest refugee camp in Africa. And we'll be preaching there. And there's people from all different countries that's going to be there, you know. And I mean, it's going to be powerful. It's going to be awesome. And I'm believing God for that. But I tell you, the reason is because it gives me such a perspective. God is an American. He's not American. God is not American. Did you go, you know? He ain't. He's not. And so when you see the gospel, when you see the church, when you see Christianity in a different arena amongst a different people, and you preach the word of God, you see their response. It works. People respond. Americans, a lot of times, ho-hum, and if you ain't got smoke and lights, and if the place ain't packed, if you don't have a lot of money, if I'm not on TV preaching, then you're not, maybe you're nothing. I like to see some of them TV preachers go to Africa. You know, did you see that hut I was staying in? The first night I'm in that hut, I shut the door. I do like this. I'm going to call it a hut. It's a house to them. And they gave us the best houses to stay in. But anyway, I get in there, and me and Dave Tiarina, we're sharing one together. And I shut the door. And when I shut the door, there's this huge spider, man. You know, I'm not a scary guy. But you know what? here we are. We're out in the wilderness, and there it is. You know, and you're eating goat and you're cooking out, and there's not a lot of running water. We had hot water. I even posted a picture of where we took a shower. I had a guy build a shower for us, a place where we could go. And, you know, like I said, I'm having a hard time using it, you know. But we, you know, it was the best. But the graciousness and all that, you know, but I'm just saying, the reason people don't go do this stuff, why don't they? Because it ain't pretty. It's not glamorous. You know what I mean? It's not comfortable. It's not convenient. It's a hassle. It's work. It's hot. As soon as you bring the food out, flies is everywhere. You know what I mean? They're used to flies getting on the food. If I got one fly in my entire house, I can't rest until that fly is dead. That's the way I am. And the reason that people don't go is because of those kind of things. And, you know, we're so prissy. Oh, yeah, that's a good word as far as Christians. You just prissy. And everything has to be right, man. God help us. God help us. Please help us. I believe the Bible is written. It's more realistic to people in third world countries than it is us. How about this? Give us this day our daily bread. How many of you ate this morning? I ate something three times before I got here. It wasn't a lot, but three times. Give us this day our daily bread. I don't pray for God to give me food. I don't, because I work. There's no need. I get a paycheck. I go to the grocery store, which is just 2 blocks from my house. I have no problem. My problem is too much food. It's going down, though. We don't pray that. So in the context, in the American context, desperation, we have no desperation. All right? I want to finish with this. Just because we're also, just keep in mind, God gives us grace and mercy. I pray all the time, God, give us grace because we're American Christians. God, give us grace because we're Southern California Christians. God, have mercy on us. Work with us. You know what I mean? It's a trial when we get a flat tire. God show us grace. You know what I mean? We have to drive to church. My air conditioner wasn't working or something. Or I don't know. Whatever trials we have. But God loves us. Can you say, are you with me? He works with us. He does work with us. We need a hunger. I'm going to finish with this. I'm done. We really do need to cultivate a hunger for God, a desperation for God. How do you do that? How do you keep loving your wife? Same old wife. Same old wife, 35 years. Get a new one? Woo, come on now. Somebody said that quick. Is that Christy? Yeah. You cultivate love. We still flirt. She still gets fresh with me. We do it with words. We cultivate with action. We hug. We show emotion and feelings. You know what I mean? The same little Cholita I married, 35 years ago. Still the same today. She's in there. Same thing that made her attractive. She was attractive back then. It's still the same. You cultivate. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same God that saved you. Remember when you first gave your life to Christ and God touched you? You cried and man, you pledged the allegiance and you'll never leave God. And oh my, same God. He hasn't changed. We change, but he hasn't changed. Come back to church. Come back to prayer. Come back to the beginning. Recultivate that. Reignite that. Restir that. Refresh that. This is why we pray every day. God's mercies are fresh every day. His love for us is fresh every day. He doesn't get old. We do. He doesn't get boring. We do. So we have a responsibility to come to him. Come to him. Man, I said, God touch you, boy. It's nothing more powerful than God touching us. And God has a new touch for you today. He has a new touch for you every day. But do you hunger for this? Do you hunger for God? Do you hunger for God? Even when you know what I mean? Even when you don't sense it, you know that you are. And so you come to him anyway. In fact, if you say, you know what? I ain't hungry. That shows how desperate, how much you do need God. And you say, you know what, God? I don't feel it. But I know that I need you more than I do yesterday. And so here I am. Here I am. Hallelujah. God is good to us. Can you say amen? He's good to us.
Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit kirchurch.com or follow us on Instagram @kirchurch.